It is 7 minutes after 10, and you are listening to the Monday edition of The Talking Point. My name is Oliver Dixon, standing in this morning for Kathy Mutlahlana. In this hour, we're going to have a conversation about something fundamental to our democracy, the right to vote. A group of prisoners sent us a letter a while back saying that, a group of prisoners at, from the Kutuma Sintumele Correctional Center, they've said that amongst many of the issues they raised with us, they say that their right to vote is infringed upon and severely limited. The right to vote is not just rocking up at a booth and making a cross on the ballot and inserting that ballot into a box. It is about more than that. They say, for instance, political parties are not allowed to campaign to them. You know, access to information to be able to make an informed decision when your vote is a critical part of the voting process. Right. And they say that this has been taken away from them or limited, and they are unable to engage with political parties who they're considering to vote for. That's amongst the issues that they have raised with us. There are fundamental questions to be asked about this. Right. How do we best allow for prisoners to vote? And what does that mean? What are some of the changes that need to be made to the, correctional services code with regards to voting rights for prisoners? But I've realized that a lot of South Africans still don't believe, and this is not a South African problem, in fact, this exists the world over, that a lot of people do not believe that prisoners should have the right to vote. That amongst the rights and liberties of prisoners that we limit by imprisoning them, includes the right to vote. There are many things that we can argue are debatable for prisoners, right? Certain prisoners, for instance, visitation rights from family and friends taken away from them, depending on the scale and transgression and the type of transgression they've caused. For instance, prisoners in maximum security have less outside time or, less time to do other things than prisoners who are not in maximum security, right? All of these things matter. More specifically, though, the question is, should the right to vote be among some of those liberties that we limit? Give us a call, 011-714-2006. You can also send us a WhatsApp voice note on the WhatsApp line. It is 0614-104-107. Tweet me. It is @Oliver_speaking. And you can find me on Facebook @Oliver Dixon. Or you can simply tweet us and find us @SFM Radio across all social media platforms. Joining me on this conversation is Emerentia Cupido. She's the spokesperson for the Judicial Inspectorate for Correctional Services, and Tessa Dooms, who's a board member of Rivonia Circle and a political analyst. Emerentia, I'm going to begin with you this morning. Prisoners have the right to vote. Why are many of them arguing that this right is limited? And if there are limitations, what are those limitations?
Okay, thank you so much, Oliver, for inviting me onto the platform this morning, and good morning to all the listeners out there. I think we need to start with a bit of context, first of all. So prior to 1999, there were a lot of restrictions placed on inmates, and various court cases ensued based on either restrictions to vote due to incarceration or the right to vote based on locality within the Electoral Act. But since 1999, the Electoral Commission had worked with the Department of Correctional Services to provide voter registration and voting opportunities for inmates that are in line with the constitutional right extended to prisoners to vote. So currently, there's an average inmate population of about 160,000 plus offenders, and these include remand detainees in South Africa's 243 prisons. So as we stand, the right of every adult citizen to vote is uncontroversial, and it's very clear-cut. So the problem was that the main thrust of the government's justification related to logistical and cost matters, which were not legitimate reasons for limiting those rights back then. So where to place the emphasis when balancing the rights of prisoners on the one hand and the needs of the government and of society to combat crime on the other has always been questioned. So we're looking at two issues currently. So the issue at hand is the following. Are inmates allowed to vote? Yes, they are allowed to vote. And secondly, are political parties allowed to campaign at prisons? So that is another issue. Now, the court cases, the first issue has been dealt with extensively in the courts, but the second issue has not. So to my mind, this would be a logistical matter for DCS to be able to respond to, as any organization or affiliation can apply to DCS to come and speak to prisoners.
So sorry about that, Demarisha. Go ahead.
So maybe they didn't hear the last part that I said.
Yes, can you repeat that?
The last part is about a logistical matter, and it would be for DCS to be able to, any organization should be allowed or affiliation can apply to DCS to come and speak to prisoners. So then they would either be granted permission or denied as per any other request based on the rules and the regulations within DCS.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's quite interesting because the letter that we got from the group of prisoners, we asked them to be on the show. They've nominated amongst themselves a spokesperson. His name is Fiso Khumalo. He's an inmate. He's in prison at the moment. And quite interestingly is how access to prisoners and vice versa are limited in many, many ways that seem quite arbitrary, right? One of those being that we are unable to call the prisoners that we want to have on the show this morning. They have to call us, right? And It's expensive to be on a radio show if you're going to be on the line for 30, 40 minutes. But the second also is that we just got a note from Sfiso saying that he unfortunately can't join us anymore because he's being threatened by officials, right? And so there seems to be, outside of the code of practice that's acceptable, ways in which DCS limits certain engagements with prisoners. The media struggles to get access. I would assume political parties have no different, logistical nightmare to get a hold of prisoners. From some of the inspections that you've done, or at least that are being done in the country by various organizations, how often does it happen that DCS does not adhere to what is in the Constitution and what is in the statutes around prisoner movement, prisoner engagement, and some of the rights that are fundamental to prisoners?
Look, if everything was perfect, then we would never have complaints from inmates. And across the board, of the 243 prisons that we have, on a monthly, quarterly, and yearly basis, we deal with hundreds of thousands of complaints. And many of those complaints deal with lack of access to telephones, for example, lack of visitations from family members, lack of communication with, for example, the legal Aid South Africa. So these are some of the issues that many of our inmates across the board complain about. So there are definitely problems there where that's concerned. And I mean, if you look at the last 2 years, this was even made worse by the fact that we had COVID and there were extensive regulations put in place that made what is currently difficult even more difficult in the last 2 years, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. We've managed to get a hold of Sfiso Khumalo, speaking on behalf of the concerned inmates who wrote us this letter. Sfiso, you struggled getting on the line with us. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm still holding. I'm all right. I'm comfortable. I'm all right.
Thanks, my brother. It's you're not very audible, so I'm going to ask if you can speak a little bit louder to us so that we can hear you very clearly. But explain to us how you believe that your right to vote as prisoners are being limited.
Actually, let me put it in this perspective. Am I being clear right now, hey?
Yes, much better. Go ahead.
Okay, let me start by introducing myself. As you have just narrated, I'm Sfiso Khumalo. And let me take this rare opportunity and greet the lovely presenter, Mr. Olivia Dixie, and the producer, Mr. Lebo, and the esteemed guests which we have invited there. I am Sfiso Khumalo, currently incarcerated at Kudama Sentimola Correctional Center. It's a private institution, obviously contracted with the Department of Correctional Service. So speaking back to the question that you have just posed to me, it is simply as saying that we've been denied an access to vote simply because the only political party that is having rights and access to come and converse in this prison is the ANC cadres, which ultimately they fail to reason with that we are not all ANC members after all. So those are the challenges in which we are faced with. So we see that our political rights to vote or to elect a certain political party of our own choice are being infringed.
Right.
So that is the challenge we are faced with.
Right. That's an interesting point you raise. Tessa, I want to bring you into the conversation here. Voting is one thing, but access to information before you vote, and this is why campaigning is important, may be as critically important as voting itself, right? Part of voting is being able to make an informed choice. How big of a problem is it, Tessa, do you think that, as Fiso says, in their prison, for instance, the only party that's been allowed to come in and canvass has been the ANC?
The thing is that it's not really an issue that is for that population only, or that part of our population only.
Right.
What we're actually experiencing across the board in our society is very limited ways that political parties engage, and very, very many people in the country do not feel like they are ever given good access to information when it comes to different political parties. And so there may be an issue around access. I'm not sure if they're saying that they know that other parties are being disallowed, but it may also be as simple as other parties don't have the resources that they can extend to that population, and so they've decided that population is not going to be their target, because we know that when you're looking at national elections particularly, the resources that parties need to extend, they have to be really particular about. And what we're seeing in our context is, because of the impact of things like resources and even just things like language and how political parties see themselves in relation to society, they really are targeting people they think are most likely to vote for them, which means that the rest of society, who may not be political party members or haven't voted before — we've seen registration numbers have dropped and plummeted, and it doesn't seem political parties are doing a lot of work to increase those numbers. And so I think we must ask questions not only of the system and whether the system is allowing people in, but even if they were allowed in, are political parties willing to do the work of educating all populations in society, including those in prison, on their electoral choices?
Right. Sviso, have you guys reached out to other political parties? How then do you know? Because it's an interesting point that Tessa makes. It may well be the case that other political parties don't want to go into prisons to canvass there. It may be the case that only the ANC is willing to do that. Makes sense. They have the biggest campaigning budget. What has been your engagement as prisoners, as inmates, with other political parties?
Okay. One, we as my fellow counterpart, whom they are very close to me, we have tried to speak to the EFF on numerous occasions to try and persuade them, or to ask them to say that, are you guys willing to be able to come and convert for the political party? Because we are seeing you are thriving, and you will then take the country to the next direction. The simple response in which we get from the political members of the EFF, they're simply saying that the access for them to come inside is merely not, it is actually very difficult for them to come and canvass inside here. The law that have been put into this institution, they are very much stringent in a way that it is inaccessible for them to come and canvass.
That's an interesting point. So on the other side of this, I want us to speak about specifically about why it may be that that disparity exists. What are the politics at play that limits the access of opposition political parties to canvass to prisoners, and why that canvassing process is critically important? Let's take a quick break. We continue the conversation on the other side of this.
Oliver Dixon on SAFM.
You were listening to The Talking Point. My name is Oliver Dixon, standing in this morning for Kathy Mutlahlana. And we're speaking about the right to vote for prisoners, at least more fundamentally, access, unfettered access to the right to vote. Before we took a break, Mr. Sfiso Kumalo spoke to us about how they're being limited in how there are severe limitations in how they're able to access political parties in the run-up to any sort of election. And he feels that that's a limitation of their right to vote. Emerentia, Sviso says to us that they've reached out to other opposition parties, more specifically the EFF, and the response they got from the party was, it is actually very difficult to get into prisons to canvass to you guys in prison. Is this a likely practice? And how common is it, would the practice be, that only the ruling party seems to have unencumbered access, while opposition parties may not. Is it likely that opposition parties would find difficulty in accessing prisons for canvassing purposes?
I don't think that it's supposed to be a likely practice. I think anybody that applies to gain access for a specific reason should be entitled to gain access to it, unless there are specific reasons. For example, if there might be safety issues or within the prison itself, that could be one of the main reasons why they would not be allowed to gain access to the prison in as such. But I like what the previous speaker has stated, that there could be a myriad of reasons why only one particular party is campaigning and the others are not. So we don't really know, and I don't want to speculate at this stage to say that no other political party
right.
is not gaining access to it. It would have been really great if we could have had DCS, for example,
right.
Who could have been able to say, no, but we've received access, or we've received the request, and we've either granted it or not granted it for these specific reasons. But at this stage, we cannot speculate to say that it's only one political party. You know, it would be wonderful if everybody got access, but we don't want to speculate on the reasons at this stage, why they are not gaining access to the prisons.
Sfiso, when you engage with correctional services, I'm assuming you have, what do they say to you about why other opposition political parties are not given access?
Let me be quite frankly with you and the listeners as well, is that in this private institution, it is very difficult, hence I've elaborated further to say that this is a contracted department, obviously, to the government sphere, which is the correctional services. So basically, they have a DCS controller, which means Department of Correctional Services controller within the perimeters of this institution. So in answering the question, I would simply say these officials, they are very much ignorant. It's either when they do come and pay a visit in these ports that we are residing at, they did not come to see us specifically. They just came to see these walls and the dysfunctional machines that are not properly equipped, that are not working. So basically, when we have such issues, it is practically impossible for them to give us an ear, because they've got this perceivement about us that we are not human beings. They take us otherwise. So it is difficult to engage with such individuals.
That is
the problem we are facing.
Right. And I thank you so much for that clarification on that. Really, really important. Tess, I want to bring you back in here. Let's speak about the right to vote, because, and you know, just looking at my WhatsApp screen right now and going through my Twitter feed, quite a number of the responses I'm getting are that prisoners should not be able to vote. Why do these guys want to vote when they've raped, when they've killed, when they've stolen, when they've transgressed society in such heinous ways? You know, they're in prison for a reason, and that right to vote should not be extended to them. That argument sounds very apartheid-esque as well, right? But more importantly, how fundamental is the right to vote to never be taken away from anyone, right? Does that in any way infringe on, at least, impugn on the credibility of our democracy?
Yeah, so the right to vote is a very basic right, and we need to remember why certain rights are really as basic as they are, right? So if you take a different one, which also relates to correctional services and justice, for instance, the right to life. People make arguments about the death penalty and say, you know, when somebody has transgressed society, especially when they've done so taking the life of somebody else, that their life should be taken. The reason why we are in the kind of society we are now, where we don't have a death penalty, is because we've decided that we want to be the kind of society that prioritizes the right to life, which means whether somebody is in prison or outside of prison, that's the kind of ethos we want to inculcate. So when somebody infringes on that right, our response as a society that values life is not then to take away that right that they have infringed on. That's why we talk of correctional services. Ours is to be corrective in our approach and bring those people back into line with what we ethically, morally, constitutionally, culturally believe in, which is the right to life.
Mm.
So similarly, when it comes to voting, because the vote was so hard fought for in this country, and it was fought for under circumstances where the actual system was illegal, that was holding us back from the right to vote. We want to create a society where we give everybody the right to have that vote and have that voice regardless of station in life, because we are hoping to be able to persuade each other. We are hoping to be able to persuade each other of the right choices to make. And when somebody is incarcerated, we must remember that they don't lose their citizenship. They don't lose their rights to being a human being. And they also are part of the community in some ways. They still have family who are in other parts of society. They are still under the watch of a government that needs to do right by them in terms of the system that it creates that they're housed in. So they don't lose their place in society in its entirety. They just have a different station in it.
Yeah.
And therefore, their right to vote should not be infringed on.
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a call. The number to dial to participate in this conversation is 011-714-2006. What do you make of this? What's your contribution? What are your questions that you'd like to ask and raise to this conversation? You can also send us a WhatsApp voice note on 0614-104-107. 0614-104-107. But we do prefer those calls on 011-714-2006. Sfiso, many people say you've transgressed society, sir, that you don't deserve the right to vote. I want to ask you on the other side of this, why you deserve the right to vote. But before we answer that, let's take a look at your headlines.
SAFM 104 to 107 nationwide, leading the conversation.
Morning, SAFM. Glenn, there is no way that prisoner can be able to vote. They choose to take away their rights by doing what they have done that caused them to be in a home of safety. You know, they live in lavish life while we lost our kids, while we're dealing with fear and trauma. At the moment, I cannot even go to the toilet before I check everything in the house, my own house. So no ways that they can vote. I'm sorry. Come to Delft and see what is going on right now this time of the morning. Prisoner cannot go and vote. They choose to do that so that they know next time that they must not come and kill our kids. Then they can go and vote. They'll be free outside. They cause what themselves. The life that we live in right now is those people are in prison.
That is a common sentiment that we've observed on the voice note line. A lot of people sending in voice notes expressing a very similar sentiment. Sfiso, what's your response to that?
There are other challenges which I would like to be given an opportunity to articulate. But first, let me respond to this one, the question that was put unto me. We wish to acknowledge the fact that indeed whatever that had happened outside, we had wronged our fellow human beings. Indeed, we are taking the blame for that. But we should be taking it into cognizance that not everybody in the Republic of South Africa who's incarcerated or who's behind bars has committed whatever the atrocities that we are claimed to have committed. Let us take it into cognizance that indeed what has happened to so many other individuals who unfortunately find themselves in a similar situation of being incarcerated for the crimes they merely committed. We must be considerate of the fact that also the respective court that has also brought these individuals whom they did not commit whatever the offences, it's unfortunately due to their background circumstances, they could not afford to foot bail for private legal representation. Therefore, they could not be exonerated either. So I'm acknowledging the fact that I am a caller to myself, Sfiso Khumalo. I have indeed committed a crime and I'm sincerely apologetic, but we must take it into account that we are human beings and we've been brought here so that we can repent, reform and rehabilitated so that we can be put back into our respective communities, being an active change to the respective communities where we come from.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you make, an important one. Let's go to the lines. Kevin in KZN, given just what Sfiso said now, that he's apologetic, that he's remorseful for the crimes that he's committed, why do you believe that that right should still not be given to prisoners, or at least that they should be, that it should be taken away from them?
Morning, Oliver. Can you hear me?
Not very loudly. Can you speak a little bit louder?
All right. Oliver, I just don't agree with you just now. Well, a few minutes ago, you equated the voting laws of apartheid to what's going on now. That is totally untrue. Because I believe that right now, we're not calling for a blanket ban on the prisoners to vote. I think it should be regulated and categorized. For example, if you committed a political murder and you murdered your opponent and violent crimes, and you know, absolutely you have no right to even be part of society. But if you committed crimes that are white collar crimes, non-violent, I'm talking like fraud and stuff like that, you know, I don't think, if you can't respect society's norms and standards as it is now, why should you benefit from the rights that we have, you know, that we have being law-abiding citizens? I mean, when you go to prison, you should lose all your rights to normal civil society. You should, you just, like people say, lock up and throw away the key. You have no rights.
Okay.
That's the way I feel. And absolutely, I think what you said about equating it with apartheid, inaccurate and totally reckless.
No, I mean, it's during apartheid where people's right to vote was limited. That's the point I was making,
yes,
right?
But during apartheid, the blacks were not allowed to vote, period.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That's exactly the point I'm making, that people's right to vote was taken away. Therefore, apartheid was not a credible system of governance. It was an illegitimate, illegal regime.
But in this case, we're not calling for a blanket ban on a certain race group or whatever. Whether you're black, white, Indian, or colored, if you've committed a political crime...
Right.
Okay,
that's an interesting point. Amarantia, do you believe, one, as Kevin says, that this is not a discriminatory distinction? Just because it's not racial, you know, doesn't mean that it is not unfair. And secondly, Kevin also believes that there should be a distinction, at least a moral distinction, in the types of crimes where we regulate and limit the right to vote. For instance, some crimes are not all crimes are equal. Some crimes are more heinous than others. And the more heinous the crime, the more limited the right to vote should be. Amarantia?
Thank you, Oliver. I think if we're talking about the perception of the public out there about prisoners, we need to recognize, firstly, in our country, wracked by criminal violence, you know, the idea of someone who's committed murder, rape, and armed robbery, for example, should be entitled to vote offends many people. So we certainly don't say that people don't have the right to feel offended by it. But if we're talking about excluding someone, when you're excluding someone from something, that in itself is discrimination. So an exclusion in any shape or form can be considered discrimination. And, you know, especially with the past that we've had in South Africa. And what's happened in our past, you know, results clearly from the history that we've had.
Right.
And we're looking at poverty, joblessness, economic opportunities, you know, and we need to find solutions to our South African problems that are uniquely South African. But we cannot simply use the high levels of crime to justify extensive and invasions of the rights of individuals, including the rights of prisoners, who are probably the most unpopular category of persons in South Africa. So hence, the courts have irrefutably rejected the idea that inmates can and should be deprived of the right to vote.
Mm. Tessa, what's your response to Kevin's point about making moral distinctions between types of crimes and you know, the more severe and heinous a crime, the more severe our limitations of your civil liberties should be to that?
So we already make those distinctions in law. Law grades the incarceration period, the kinds of ways in which people's liberties are taken away when they're incarcerated or when they've committed a crime. So our law already does that. So let's extend this a little bit further, right?
Mm.
If we went with that argument, then what happens to a person once they have been released from jail, or they're on parole, or somebody who's been given a suspended sentence for different reasons? Do we then start to make those kinds of calls that says only when you're incarcerated do you lose that? Mm. Or is it anyone who's ever committed a crime? Or I think there's so much nuance that we're missing when we have the argument about who is worthy of their civil liberties and who's not. We have to accept two things. One is that when somebody's incarcerated, their civil liberties are already impacted on in large ways. Mm. And it may not be big enough given the high levels of violent crime we have in our country and what that does to people's lives. We have to take that into account. But we also cannot say that going to jail and being incarcerated is, you know, just a vacation. It certainly is not. But the second thing that we have to account for is what the purpose is of our legal system and of our correctional system. And in fact, it is to correct.
Yes.
That's what we've decided. And if that's not what we want to do, then we have to have a conversation about that. If our desire is not to correct, then we should have a conversation about that, and we should say that the entire way we apply our laws would need to then change, because then we're saying it's one strike and you're out. Because the time that somebody spends in prison, what we don't want to do as a society, if we are intent on having a correctional service, is have the time that they spend in society be one that alienates them so much from the rest of society that when we release them, we're releasing somebody who is completely alien to our system back into the world, and we are then dealing with a worse problem than the person that we put in.
That's incredible information in terms of thinking about what correction means, right? Sfiso, what do you make? You're an inmate. What do you make of Kevin's argument that, you know, that rapists and murderers maybe should not get to vote, but the petty theft guys, the housebreaking guys, let's give them the right to vote maybe. What do you make of that that argument around moral distinctions of types of crimes?
Hence, that is why I've emphasized that the listeners should be wary of the fact that not everybody who's behind bars has committed whatsoever the crime that they've been accused of. We must remember that the very same justice system that is within our country, or that is being utilized in our country, is not as fair as people think. You would find that there are people out of 100% of incarcerated people, you would find that probably 55% of the individuals, they did not commit the so-called crimes that they claim to have been committed. But unfortunately, we do have those who indeed committed whatsoever that they have committed. And apart from that as well, I don't know how then a person then can be crucified, because our esteemed guest there is speaking about corrections, right? If I'm getting here correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming to the place of correction, that's unfortunately the total opposite of what is happening here at Kudama Sentumule. Because we are faced with enormous challenges. One would then think about those that we are facing. Mm. Remember, we are here to be corrected so that we can be reformed, rehabilitated, and reintegrated back into our respective societies.
Yeah, I do want to ask. I do want us to spend a little bit of time in talking about how we're getting the correction part of it wrong, because that informs how we get reintegration into society wrong, right? But I do want us to take a few calls from the line. Jethro's calling from a prison himself. Jethro, good morning.
How is it?
Fantastic, sir. Go ahead. What's your comment?
Yes, I just want to put the input on this thing of Kudama Sentumule. Yeah, these guys, they don't take us seriously because of what? Every time people are staying incarcerated for a period of 10 years in prison, but when they come doing to case commit, they don't give it to maybe to transfer to the medium prison or whatever. But now we are staying here for a period of too long, but these guys, they don't take up seriously. Even the defense controller, they just come here and watch this machine or the port is clean or whatever. They don't do anything about us. When you're going to, we want to talk to them, they don't take us anything. They just told us that you're going to your manager or whatever. But anything that they are doing here is totally wrong. Totally wrong. We can't communicate with them. When they are coming to prison, the lockers up, and then they are going to see the managers only. The inmates are going to be close to their cells. But they can't give up the access so that we can communicate with the people from the DCS panel as well. This thing is painful.
That's an important observation. Thank you so much for your call. Really appreciate it, Jethro. Emerentia, Jethro is not the first person to say that prisoners having access to DCS and the officials there is very difficult, and often they can't register that the types of complaints that they want to, making their prison stay more difficult in ways that, you know, is not necessary and that further violates their rights. Is this a common practice in South Africa where DCS, much like many other government departments, are dysfunctional in ways that makes communication and access between officials and prisoners, very difficult?
Thanks, Oliver. I can't respond for other departments, but what I can say is that at every prison, there's supposed to be a system in place. For example, there's a book where inmates are allowed to lay their complaints in a registry, so that the officials would then must make sure that when they lay their complaints in the registry, those are then followed up on and the matters are resolved. Now, from our side as well, with the Judicial Inspectorate, we have ICCVs, Independent Correctional Centre visitors, that monitor those books to make sure that the complaints that are being placed in them are being followed up and that the matters have been resolved and that there is access to see whether there is access to the officials so that complaints can be laid, followed through. Especially, for example, something like incarceration, where and segregation, which is a further thing that happens, and there are specific mandatory rules around that to ensure that the inmates are not unfairly segregated, and that there's specific timelines around that. So yes, the system is not perfect. That I can definitely say it's not perfect. And that's one of the reasons why we get thousands and thousands of complaints on a monthly basis. DCS is understaffed. The resources that are available, because they are understaffed, are not often adequately being utilized properly. The facilities that our inmates are living under are not conducive to what they're supposed to have been used for, because there are too many in a smaller facility. So we've got so much overcrowding that's happening that it becomes difficult to manage a system when there are so many people. And it's the system, therefore there's a breakdown within the system. And doesn't matter how many systems you try and put in place to make sure that it is effective, if there are links in that chain that are not working, if you've got hot water that can only be fixed after 2-3 months because they can't send somebody out there because there's a process that needs to be followed in order for, then you're going to have complaints. You're going to have inmates that are saying, but I don't have enough food, or I don't have, or this is happening, or that is happening. It's a systemic issue that we are dealing with.
Yeah.
It's not just one prison, one individual that's not being granted access to at a certain point in time. It is a systemic problem that we are dealing with.
Yeah, that's, Sfiso, before we went to the break earlier, you said there were some other issues that you wanted to raise, and Emerentia has alluded to some of those issues and what they are. I know we're veering off the right to vote conversation, but what are some of the other issues that in prison you guys face that violate, as you say, some of your fundamental rights as a prisoner?
Thank you very much, Mr. Oliver Dixon, and your listeners and the esteemed guests that you have invited. It is so unfortunate that we are experiencing, it's unfortunate that we do not have the relevant spokesperson of the affected department. But nevertheless, my fellow inmate brother here has emphasized the fact that the transfers indeed are the issue of a burning cause. are a cause for concern. I wish to firmly put it on record that this prison is tormenting felonies, as this has been ongoing for a number of years. I mean, with regards to transfer, it has to be halted right now. I find it peculiar and bizarre to understand how this prison is operating differently from other 240 correctional centers that we have in the country. Because Section 43 of the Criminal Procedure Act that was established in 1998 stipulates very clearly that each and every sentenced offender must be housed where their next of kin, relatives or spouses are located. And let us not forget, and the public at large, that let us not forget that part and parcel of rehabilitation requires families' participation in a form of visiting their loved ones.
Mm.
That is not a reality with us here. We are coming from various corners of the Republic of South Africa.
Mm.
The other issue here I'd like to emphasize very quickly is torture, and the other issue, discretion of the listeners is advised here, sodomy. Sodomy is very much prevalent in this institution. Sodomy, obviously, everybody should know that it's an anal intercourse that has compromised so many offenders' lives who are now dependent on antiretrovirals. And when they came in here, they did not have this such a deadly disease. This is of grave concern, particularly for felonies or inmates who are coming as far as KZN, Eastern Cape, Gauteng, and the Northern Cape. The third part in all this, when I spoke to the affected parties, meaning the ones that are being sexually molested, is the same responses. I quote, I come from far as KZN, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and other provinces. Therefore, I am unable to purchase simple things as toiletries, close quote. So, this is the most upsetting thing, that this appalling behavior is condoned by the custodian officials. Let me put it in this manner. How is it condoned? We are having this prison that is situated here at Louis Trichardt in Makado, whereby you find the local individuals or the local offenders who are so privileged in a manner that they are indeed getting visits from their families. What about us who are coming from far away? Therefore, it means that the local individuals who are getting privileges of being visited by their spouses, families, they will use whatever privileges that they have received to manipulate us in order to perform wifely duties. Obviously, this is because, especially given the circumstances that we are faced with, our backgrounds and other stuff, because we are very far from where you come from. Let me make the inhabitants of South Africa aware, especially those paying taxes, that this prison, it is not what it claims to be. Simply because this inexplicable behavior, if it is left unchallenged, it is a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
In summary of all this, it should be, one should be looking at it in this way. Kutama Santomone Correctional Center is breeding and grooming future sexual predators who will later be infested in communities, thus leaving young boys vulnerable, and the fight against gender-based violence will be endorsed. I'd like to stop there.
Before we wrap up this conversation and tie it a knot into why correction is an important exercise, I do want us to end it on that point. Emerentia, is there anything you want to reflect on based on what Sfiso had just said? Quite a number of issues that is raised there, some of which you have pointed out to a defunct system allowing for some of these things to fester.
Yes, I would. Thanks, Oliver. I think it's very clear in the complaints that we've received from the inmates that transfers is a very big issue when it comes to especially the inmates that want to be closer to their families.
Yeah.
And it's something that is incredibly important. People don't often understand that if you're away from your family, how difficult it is in an environment for you to be able to adjust to it, in order for you to be able to cope within that environment. And it leads to a myriad of other things, for example, suicide. And what Sfiso has also said, where he stated that he's spoken about sexual violence and the trading of commodities within the prisons, that is something that we are also very well aware of. And it's important for us to understand within society that people don't often realize that what happens in prison is a mirror of what is happening outside of our society out there. I think having conversations like this where
The inmates were actually given the opportunity to speak about what's happening and what their votes are. It might not give everybody the opportunity to change their mind about how they feel, because we know that the culture out there is that prisoners don't have the right to vote, prisoners don't have rights. People are under the impression that when inmates are incarcerated, they should be completely stripped of their personal rights. So I think it's really important that these kinds of conversations take place so that everybody gets an opportunity to give their input, to say what the situation is like, and so that we can have a better understanding when we walk away from these conversations.
Tsakani, you're also in prison. Good morning. Thank you so much for your call. What's your comment?
Yes, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, so go ahead.
I think the only remedial action that should be taken here, because I have listened to all different people who were just coming to this review, I think the only remedial action that must be taken is that we are humbly asking for the inspecting judge and his team to arrive here and see for himself what the condition of this place. Because we can talk and then we cannot go anywhere. We are just asking for the inspecting judge himself, because I know he's very fond of the prisoners. He understands where we come from as South Africa. Because I have realized that there are many people who are very angry outside. As the matter stands, the manner in which things are happening here, the correctional services is just breeding the monsters. Because not all people are saving life imprisonment. All other people are going to be going outside. They are going to come back and is doing the very most severe crimes.
Thank you so much for that, Tsakani. Really, really do appreciate it. I want to wrap it up here with you, Tessa. You know, Tsakani makes an important point that you previously made earlier in the conversation, that these guys are going to go back into society and they're going to have to reintegrate. And this is why our approach to, crime and injustice is correctional. Can you just round it up for us and explain why correctional is the approach we took when we ended apartheid, why we want to rehabilitate instead of just being fundamentally punitive and retributive, and why our slant of justice is correctional in principle?
I actually don't have the real answer to that. I will say from my perspective that I think what we are responding to is the question about moving away from the kind of society we were for hundreds of years, which was one where there were categories of people who were seen as not being human and therefore denied all sorts of rights in arbitrary ways. The issue here is that when somebody has offended the society, right, and they have done something that we deem to be wrong in our society, we have to then say, what as a society is our response? And we have decided that we are not going to do an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. We have decided that our response to people who have wronged our society is corrective. And if we want to revisit that conversation, we're allowed to as a democracy, but we need to revisit the entirety of the conversation and all of its nuances, because what it will do for offenders is one thing, but it will also then extend in principle to people outside of the correctional service space. But the last point to make is the reason why people feel so strongly about this, I think, is less about the incarcerated prisoners themselves. Yes, there are people who represent harm that's been done by those people who are in prison. There are many of us who know that we've been victims of crimes, and those people have never even ended up near a correctional service facility. And people feel aggrieved by the kind of society we live in. They feel like we're under attack. They feel like our rights and our human dignity is not being respected in general by the system, by the state, by each other. And people are looking for a way to rectify that. And that requires a systemic change. And one way to do it is to push down further, you know, those people who have done wrong, or to push up the standard and the quality of the lives of people on a daily basis anyway. Number one, so that we have fewer people who are doing the wrong thing. But number two, that people on the outside don't feel like they have to go to the lowest base in order to feel like people are having a worse life than them, because their lives are so bad.
Thank you so much for that, Tessa Dooms. Really, really do appreciate. Thank you so much for coming on to the show this morning. Your contributions were invaluable. Marentia Cupido, the spokesperson of the Judicial Inspectorate for Correctional Service, thank you so much for your time this morning. And Sfiso Khumalo, thank you for the letter that you send us and being willing to come onto the platform. Really, really do appreciate it.